Tonight, Mr. Francho Tone stars with Rosemary DeCamp in One Foot in Heaven from Studio One at CBS.
Will, is there anything that prevents a new minister from kissing the girl he's going to marry?
Oh, well, here's your answer.
Oh, I guess there isn't, and I'm glad. I'm very, very glad, Parson Spence.
We invite you to Studio One, radio celebrity playhouse of dramatic entertainment, featuring the world's great novels, stories, and plays in special versions for listening. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here's the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
An entire town, its habits and its customs are reflected in the daily life of a clergyman. Perhaps there is no single individual who knows his fellow men from birth to death quite as intimately or as sympathetically. As a circuit rider or in a city pulpit, he has always played an important part in the American way of life. Tonight we're going to hear the story of one minister and his family. Hartzell Spence has called his book One Foot in Heaven, but he's also given it the more revealing and affectionate subtitle, The Life of a Practical Parson. This evening we're most happy to have an old friend paying us a return visit, one of the most accomplished actors of stage and screen, Mr. Francho Tone. At the moment, Mr. Tone is in New York, where we're completing together a new motion picture, Jigsaw. And tonight, he will play the role of Will Spence. And we have another guest from Hollywood tonight, whom you hear each week on the Dr. Christian program, the very wonderful Miss Rosemary DeCamp, in the role of Hope. You'll also be hearing Everett Sloan as Samson, Miriam Wolfe as Mrs. Sandow, and I'm going to remain at the microphone with them to play Hartzell Spence, who tells our story. Please to begin. To be a preacher at all. He majored in philosophy in college, taught school a while, then studied medicine in Toronto. But in 1904, when he was 29, something happened, something sudden and drastic. In a certain house in the town of Stratford, Ontario, on a certain June morning of that year...
He's here, Hope. Will's here. He's coming up the drive.
I know, Mother. I saw from the parlor window.
You saw? But, Hope, you ran in here on purpose?
Oh, Mother, suddenly now that he's here, I'm afraid.
Afraid, lass?
Well, I didn't tell you, but Will's letter to say he's coming, it was so strange.
Strange?
He said something has happened to change his mind about many things that he would explain when he arrived.
And you think that now
I don't know.
Oh, dear, no. He loves you, lass. Anyway, he'd have written that.
No. To write would have been the easy way. Will would face it like this. He'd come here to tell me.
Now, there he is now. And remember, Will's not a flighty lad, Hope. He's a man of great determination. That's in your favor.
Well, that depends. It depends what he's determined on. I'm all right now. I'll let him in.
Good luck, lass.
Hello, Will.
Good morning, Hope, my dear.
Come in, Will. I'll take your hat and your umbrella.
Thank you.
You look very elegant in your new suit, Will. And that ring collar. Is that what doctors are wearing in Toronto now?
Hope, I must talk to you.
All right. Can we sit down?
My dear, before I asked you to marry me, I tried to be very frank as to what it would mean.
I know.
I try to make you realize the many problems of being the wife of a doctor. Loneliness, having so little part in what I would be doing, all the rest of it.
I said I didn't mind, Will, and I still don't.
Hope, I'm afraid I have a shock for you. But among your other virtues, I know that you have fortitude.
Well, that remains to be seen.
My dear, as you perhaps realize, I never make decisions lightly.
Yes, Mother said that, too.
What?
Go on, Will. Whatever it is, please tell me.
Do you know why I gave up teaching and studied medicine these last 4 years?
Oh,
because I felt that I could be of greater service as a doctor than as a teacher.
And you will. You'll be a fine doctor.
But there's an even greater service, Hope. Far more important than ministry to the body, there's ministry to the soul. There's...
Will!
Hmm?
What are you trying to tell me?
Hope, I've entered the ministry. I'm going to be a preacher.
Oh, is that all?
Is it all?
I mean, oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad, Will.
But are you sure you're glad? The bishop said that I must warn you. He said to tell you that while a doctor's wife spends half her life being alone, a preacher's wife never has 5 minutes alone as long as she lives.
It doesn't matter.
It'll mean teaching in Sunday school, working in ladies' aid, running a park. It'll mean... Ah, that's another thing. It will mean leaving Canada.
For where?
Well, there are no parish vacancies now in Canada, but there is one in northern Iowa.
Iowa?
Mm-hmm.
Iowa.
Well, my dear, what's your answer?
Oh, you remember what Ruth said to Boaz? Your people shall be my people. Your land, my land.
Oh, well, quotation is inaccurate, my dear. And she said it to Naomi, not to Boaz, but...
Oh.
That doesn't matter, just so you said it to me.
Oh, Will.
I'm sure in my heart, my dear, that there's no service like the service of the Lord. And that in that service we can find a good life together. It may not always be easy, Hope. I'll have little to give you in worldly things, but I don't think you'll ever be sorry. And Hope, you're crying.
Oh, darling, don't you know that every girl prays that someday her man will say to her what you've just said? You know what you want in life, and you know it's right, and you need me to help accomplish it. Iowa, oh, Will, of course I'll go with you. To Iowa, to the mountains of the moon.
But you're still crying, Hope. If you're happy about it, why?
Will, is there anything in the church discipline that prevents a new minister from kissing the girl he's going to marry?
Oh, well, here's your answer.
I guess there isn't, and I'm glad. I'm very, very glad. Parson Spence.
Planned that Father should spend the first 6 months in his new parish alone and then return for the wedding. But after 3 months, he couldn't stand the separation any longer. And so it was that a train nearing the little town of Laketon, Iowa, on a winter's day in 1904, carried two very special passengers, the Reverend and Mrs. William H. Spence.
Now, you're sure you have them straight, dear?
I hope so, Will.
I'll go over it one last time. Mr. McCreary, who will probably meet us, is church treasurer.
McCreary.
Mrs. Sharples is Sunday school superintendent.
Sharples.
Mrs. Reynolds is head of ladies' aid.
Yes.
Mrs. McClintock is parsonage committee.
Yes.
Mrs. Farrell
well,
is on the committee.
Well, not again. I think I know them now.
You're sure?
Ooh, I just had a horrible thought. What if they don't approve of me in Laketon?
Well, how can they help it?
Oh, darn.
They can.
We're here.
Are we? Oh, yes, but... Will, where's the town?
That is the town.
Oh, I see.
I'll get the bags on the platform. Hurry.
I'm coming, Will. I'm coming.
It was most kind of you to meet us, Mr. McCreary.
Not at all, Parson Spence. Not at all.
Will has told me how busy you are with your feed business.
That's right, dear. For you.
And also how hard you worked as church treasurer, Mr. McCreary. But he didn't tell me you drove the finest pair of matched bays I've ever seen.
Oh? Not bad, are they? Up there, Damon. Up for these. I see you've got a good eye for horses, Mrs. Spence.
Hope, the building there is the Carnegie Library.
Oh, yes, I see. Will, that woman on the porch of that house, she's waving.
Good morning, Sister Williams.
Good morning, Parson Spence. Good morning.
Mrs. Williams, Missionary Society.
Right again. That's very good, dear.
You see Nora Williams' eyes popping out, Parson? I'll bet she's been standing on her porch ever since she heard the train pull in. Just for a first look at your missus driving by.
Mr. McCreary, the meeting of the church stewards Wednesday night...
We had it. I presided.
A good meeting?
Not bad. A little matter came up might interest you, especially right now. Matter of the parson's salary. Now, a certain party I can't name, a party who owns a pair of matched bays, said he thought our parson deserved a raise.
Oh, that was good of you, Mr. McCreary.
Oh, I never said who it was. And there were some other members disagreed. They said $350 a year was enough for any pastor, even Parson Spence.
And what decided?
Well, it was laid on the table, and I promise you next meeting it'll be put across. And not for any measly $20 raise either. You get $385 a year or my name's not McCreary.
Oh.
After all, this isn't 1880, this is 1904. And starving preachers isn't too bad. But when we start starving their pretty young wives, well, that's where I draw the line.
Be ready, Hope. We're almost there. Just around the corner.
Maybe I should close my eyes.
No, I don't think...
Here we are. Whoa, Damon. Whoop it is.
There it is. There's the parsonage.
Oh.
Yeah, it does need a little paint, doesn't it?
Oh, no. It's very quaint.
Oh, is that all right? Yeah, help you with the bags, Parson?
No, thank you. We'll be all right. Come on, dear.
Thank you again for meeting us, Mr. McCreary.
Pleasure was mine, ma'am. Pleasure was mine. See you later, Parson.
Yes, and thank you.
Yep, Damon. Help with you.
This place does look a little strange, doesn't it?
Now, Hope, we won't despair yet. It may be better inside.
Yes.
I have a key here somewhere.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes. It's stuck.
Rust.
Yeah, very likely. And now it's coming. There you are. Go right in. But, Hope, dear, the door's open.
Oh, aren't you,
Oh! Oh, of course.
You don't mind. I mean, it isn't too undignified.
I'll show you how I mind. Here.
Oh. Careful.
Welcome, Mrs. Spence. Welcome home.
Oh.
Ah.
Thank you, Will, darling.
Now, an inspection tour. This, obviously, is the entrance hall.
Mm-hmm.
And this? This would be the...
The what?
Parlor.
With black curtains and a pew for a sofa?
Well, maybe it's a waiting room for weddings.
Or funerals.
How about in here?
The dust.
This must be the parlor. Look, a horsehair sofa. It looks comfortable, too.
Oh, Will, don't sit on it. The leg's broken. Oh.
Oh. Would you be good enough to help me up, my dear?
Yes, dear, here.
Thank you. You know, this room isn't too bad. With a new sofa, some different curtains, a decent rug.
And that picture down. It's awful. Take it down now, Will, please.
All right. A frightening old buzzard. I wonder who he was.
Who could tell behind that beard? Ooh, look at that one. I wonder who she was.
Undoubtedly one of the original Salem witches. Oh, this dust is terrible. I'll open the window. The sash weight rope's rotten.
Yeah. Oh, never mind, dear. Let's look in here.
Yes. Bedroom?
You suppose? Or a closet with a bed in it?
I remember someone mentioning the rooms were small.
Oh, Will, don't look like that. It's not too bad. We're just both tired now, and it's all kind of a shock. I can fix the place with some fresh paint and new curtains and that awful rug off the parlor floor. We'll do all of it over together, huh? Just to please ourselves.
Who's this? The back door. Good morning.
Oh, good heavens. Oh, you frightened me. Parson! You're here ahead of me? Oh, but now you can't be.
Mrs. McClintock, may I present... My wife.
How do you do?
Oh, how do you do? Oh, Parson Spence, you can't have done this to me. My dear, can you ever forgive us?
Oh.
If my committee had just known in time...
Oh, it'll be all right, Mrs. McClintock. Oh. Will and I were just...
We have everything planned to fix the place up, just as it was the day Parson Davis left.
Oh, but Mrs. McClintock, we didn't
the
want...
The dust in this place and the cobwebs. Just look at it. Oh! Her picture's fallen down. Oh, my goodness.
That didn't fall down, Mrs. McClintock. We took it down.
You? Parson? You didn't?
Is there some reason we shouldn't?
My dear, this parsonage was built for the first pastor of our church, Parson Nichols. And one thing never touched is his picture, or that of Mrs. Nichols. Their pictures never come down.
Oh.
I'll put this one back now.
Mrs. McClintock, my wife had some ideas about the house.
Well, never mind. Never
well,
mind.
She doesn't need to have. My committee has every last detail planned. Now, those purple drapes in the parlor will be perfect once they're clean. And that lovely orange rug was made by hand by our sewing club.
Oh.
Then in this bedroom, we're going to put some exquisite magenta flowered wallpaper. It's all picked out. And upstairs, oh, well, there's no point in my telling you. It'd spoil the surprise, wouldn't it, dear?
Yes, I suppose it would.
When my committee does the job, it does it. Well, I'll go on back now to get them. We're going right to work. And you, my dear, I don't want you to turn your hand. Just rest and save your strength for the reception tonight.
Reception?
Well, naturally. Everyone in the church wants to meet the blushing bride. Goodbye now, dear. And don't worry about a thing. It's all in our hands. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mrs. McClintock.
Oh.
They have it all planned, even the purple drapes.
Hope I won't stand for it. I'll go now and talk to Mrs. McClintock. I'll talk to the committee. I'll talk to the whole congregation.
The reception was held that night, and Mother survived it, as she was to survive hundreds of similar occasions in years to come. Mother was magnificent, proud of the beauty of his bride and of her skill in her new role. And so began the first of the separate adventures that were Father's many parishes in the years to come. Above all things, Father was pious, but he was also ambitious. In 5 years, many things had happened there in the town of Father's first ministry, including the birth of Eileen, my sister, and me. And the church had changed. Father had worked his own peculiar magic upon the congregation. Where once there had been empty seats on Sunday mornings, now they were full and overflowing. Midweek prayer meetings were well attended. The Sunday school, the women's auxiliary, the junior league, all were organized. All were at peak efficiency. And Father, restless for further challenge, was looking for new spiritual fields to conquer. Being Father, he always found them.
And it is right, Hope. After all, my task is finished here in Laketon. Well, isn't it?
Mm.
Dodge City's the second largest parish in the district, and it's run down, Hope. There's work to be done there, a great deal of work.
Yes, dear.
Well, after all, it isn't as though the idea of going there originated with me. They asked for me. Some of the members came to hear my commencement speech at the high school there, and it was their suggestion that they should ask the bishop to appoint me. Well, they did ask me how they might go about it, but the initiative was theirs. Hope.
Yes, dear?
Will you please not just sit there and knit? Will you either tell me you approve or you don't approve?
Well, when you first told me you were called to the ministry, I didn't question your decision. Now, if you feel called to a new parish, I don't question that either. You'll do what you must do.
Well, the salary is more, Hope, much more.
With two babies, I'll admit that's a consideration. But there's a more important consideration. You. Oh, Will, of course I approve. You're doing good work. Fine work for the Lord. Why shouldn't the shepherd seek the larger flock?
That's true. Yes, Hope, you're right. I should go. It's my duty to accept this challenge. We'll do it.
I'm glad you've decided, Will. Yes?
Miss Spence, that first trunk's all packed, and I put that label that says Fort Dodge on it like you told me. You want I should pack the next one now?
What?
Oh, never mind, Oprah. We'll discuss it later. You tend to the children now.
Yes, ma'am.
So, you're glad I decided. and the first trunk is all packed.
Oh, Will, we'd both better start getting ready. Well, we can't be late to prayer meeting.
Dodge City had many advantages, but one that affected us in the family especially had nothing to do with the church itself. This concerned the location of the parsonage. It was just down the block from the county courthouse, and the marriage license clerk was a Methodist. The result was a fortunate combination that often meant shoes for Eileen and me when otherwise we might have gone to school barefoot. The operation involved the assistance of the entire family.
Yes, Hartzell?
What is it, Hartzell?
Wedding couple. They just come out of the courthouse. And Mr. McPhee pointed them this way.
Oh, let's see. Your father was going to the cobbler's. That's 10 minutes. And then to the hospital, 40 minutes. Mrs. Kendall's. He'll probably be at Mrs. Kendall's. And hurry.
I'll get him.
And Eileen, you try the hospital just in case.
Yes, ma'am. Don't let him get away.
Don't worry. They won't get away.
Ma'am, I'm afraid we can't wait no longer.
That's right.
Oh, really? Well, the pastor will be right here.
You said that a half hour ago, ma'am, and we got to get back. I got my chores to do before nightfall. So is Ellie.
That's right.
Oh, but being married is very important, Mr. Crandall. And my husband performs the very best marriage in town. Everybody he's ever married has said so.
The words is the words. Methodist, Baptist, Holy Roller. No matter who says them.
That's right.
Perhaps you'd like some more tea.
No, ma'am.
You sure Mr. McPhee made this license out correctly? My husband always checks to be sure everything's legal, you know. The ages, for instance, this says you're 22, Mr. Crandall. Is that right?
Sure.
That's right.
Oh, this must be... Oh, Eileen, did you...
No, ma'am, not at the hospital.
Try Dr. Swope's and run.
Yes, I will.
And now let's see, the birthplace?
Ma'am, that license is all right. We gotta go.
That's right.
Well, I'm sorry. There's your license. One last cup of tea.
We're floating now.
That's right.
Well, goodbye, ma'am, and...
Hartzell, did you...
Yeah, running up the wall.
Well, isn't that fortunate? Here's the pastor now.
Hope, did they,
No.
Oh, good afternoon. I understand you young people wish to be married.
We sure do.
That's right.
Well, please sit down. Now, before I marry any couple, I always want to be sure that... they're fully aware of all that marriage means.
Now, look here, mister.
Well, I think I have covered most of what you usually say, and they do have to get back before dark.
Well, very well. Will you stand here, please?
Hey, come on, Helen. This is it, finally.
Lester, wilt thou have this woman, Ellie Carolyn, to be thy lawful wedded wife? Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her so long as ye both shall live?
I sure will.
Ellie Carolyn, wilt thou have this man, Lester, to be thy wedded husband? Wilt thou love, honor, and obey him in sickness and in health, forsaking all others, so long as ye both shall live?
That's right. In fact, I come of purpose.
Minister of the Lord shall by his word build temples within the minds of men. My father believed that with all his heart. But he believed too that the minister should be concerned with the outward temple of the Lord. He loved in each of his parishes to see the old church improved or a new one erected in its place. The process was never without its complications, but in Fort Dodge they were unique. It all began on a very rainy spring afternoon.
in this old attic.
Why, don't be a sis. Hold the lamp high.
Gee, there are leaks all over. Maybe we didn't bring enough pans.
Sure. Give me another here.
Hartzell, shh, be quiet. You know Father's writing his sermon. He'll explode if we disturb him.
Guess he didn't hear me.
Oh, you're just lucky. Here's a pan.
I'll put this one over here, over the front bedroom.
Hartzell, stay on the boards. Don't balance on that beam.
Oh, it's easy.
Hartzell?
What?
Dr. Romer's here.
What of it? Dr. Romer comes lots of times. He used to be a minister, only now he's a doctor. Father used to be a doctor, and now he's a preacher. So Father helps him diagram cases.
You mean diagnose?
Another pan, please.
Here. But I know a secret. This time Dr. Romer didn't come to see Father. He came to see Mama.
Ah, you're crazy. Doctors don't talk to women. They just talk to their husbands. Now, give me those four pans that are left. I'll put them over there on top of Father's study.
Well, Hartzell, be careful. You can't carry all of them at once.
Sure I can. Piled up like this, I'm a juggler.
Look! Oh, go slow, Hartzell. Please, please go slow.
Ah, don't worry, Eileen. The champion balancer in all the world, that's me.
Bother you, Doctor, but I did want to be sure before I said anything to Will.
Well, I assure you, you couldn't be more certain.
Oh.
Where is Will, by the way?
There in his study. This is Saturday, remember? Silence is golden in this house until tomorrow's sermon is finished.
Oh, Will's too conscientious. I used to write my sermons Sunday morning when I wrote them. Keeping it so quiet must be a little tough with the children.
Oh, no, they're wonderful about it. They've learned never to make a sound.
Hartzell,
in fact...
Look out!
I see what you mean.
Hope, what is the meaning of that infernal racket? Oh, Doc Romer.
Hello, Will.
Sorry, dear. I sent the children to the attic.
To the attic on Saturday afternoon?
With pans for leaks in the roof.
Oh.
One of them must have fallen. Hartzell, Arlene, are you all right?
Yes, ma'am. I sort of slipped, Mom. The pans fell.
Oh, well, pick them up and put them where they're needed, quietly. I'm sorry, Will.
And why should you be sorry? Is it your fault?
Oh, Will, the children's.
Doc, I'm glad you're here.
Matter of fact, so am I. We've got news for you.
Yes,
Will. As chairman of the church building committee, you'll be pleased to know of a decision by your pastor.
I will, eh?
Yes. The new church we all agreed we need will not be built 2 years from now or 1 year from now. It'll be built this year.
You don't say.
Will, that means the parsonage will be torn down to make room for it.
And a new one built.
Oh.
Exactly. So that the parson and his family will no longer be drenched by every passing rainstorm.
And who's going to pay for this project that's going to develop overnight?
Lydia Sandow?
Mrs. Sandow.
The one member of the church with more money than all the rest of the members put together.
But she's chairman of the parsonage committee.
Exactly, and look at the parsonage. For 10 years, she has been responsible for its condition. For 10 years, it's known neglect. Now she's going to make up for that by underwriting the entire building project. A new church, new parsonage, everything.
Will, you're crazy. You'll never persuade her.
No. If I were a betting man, Doc, I'd bet you a cigar that I do. That is, if I smoke, which I don't. Mother, my hat.
Here. Will, I wanted to
and
tell
my
you...
coat.
But there's news that...
And my umbrella.
Will, you better take it easy. Lydia Sandow hasn't let anyone tell her what to do since her husband died 10 years ago. She's got a will of iron, that one.
You know your Bible, Doctor. I refer you to Proverbs 27, verse 15. A continual dropping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are all alike. Very well. I proceed now to dispose of both of them.
Will he do it, Mrs. Spence?
Will has a way of getting what he goes after. Something tells me he'll do it.
He never did hear your news.
No, he didn't. I wonder what he'll say when I tell him I'm having another baby.
From Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you are hearing Mr. Francho Tone, starring with Rosemary DeCamp in One Foot in Heaven, a version for listening by True Boardman based on the Hartzell Spence novel. Our story will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Mr. Francho Tone stars with Rosemary DeCamp in Fletcher Markle's production of One Foot in Heaven.
Parson Spence.
Good afternoon, Hannah. You will please tell your mistress her parson is calling.
But I can't.
You can't?
She's not here. She went to collect rents from two of her farms with Lawyer Ackerman.
Oh, she did?
Yes, sir.
Hannah, tell me, is it dry in this house?
Dry, sir. Of course.
And is it dry in the stables?
Oh, yes, sir. Mrs. Sandow wouldn't dream of letting a horse get wet.
Oh, she wouldn't.
Much less Samson. He lives in a room by the stable.
Samson?
Yes.
Oh, yes, of course. Her coachman. Very faithful, Samson. He never misses Sunday evening service. I can't say as much for you, Anna.
No, sir. But I never miss Easter or Christmas.
Your church does not exist only for Easter and Christmas, Hannah.
No, sir.
Well, when will your mistress be back?
I don't know, sir. Susan might know. He drove her to Lawyer Ackman's. I'll go ask.
Never mind. I'd like to see these waterproof stables that your mistress insists upon. I'll ask Samson myself.
Yes?
Good afternoon, Samson.
Oh, who is... Pastor Spence.
May I come in?
Here? You'd come in here?
Of course. Or aren't you at home to your pastor?
Oh, please, please. Mind the door. It's low for your height.
Well, Samson, this is very comfortable. Warm, dry, and dry.
But my place is no one to receive a preacher.
Nonsense. A man's home is his inner spirit. All one needs in a house is a roof over his head. Yes, a roof over his head.
I can't believe it. A caller. You're the first guest I've ever had in 22 years. And you came to see me in the rain.
Samson, I should tell you...
Please, Mr. Spence, sit down here in the good chair. I was just making tea. A caller. I still can't believe it.
You have no friends, Samson?
Mrs. Sandow, she frowns on them. They cause talk. Gossip. Mrs. Sandow is afraid of gossip.
So you live here alone? Never see anyone?
Mrs. Sandow has me in for prayers after supper, and on sunny days I talk to the maids in the garden. I'm both gardener and coachman, you know.
Yes, I know.
Your tea, Parson.
Thank you, Samson.
And I do have friends. My horses, my flowers. In the winter, I fill the conservatory with my friends, the flowers, and visit them there. I have a very special friend in a night-blooming cereus. I call her Matilda. Of course, I have friends.
Are you very lonely here, Samson?
Everyone's lonely, Pastor. From too many friends or too few. At least I see it that way. And I'm lucky. I have my Bible.
And well worn, I see, from much reading.
It's my consolation. And I guess my life.
Samson?
Yes?
I'm very grateful to you just now.
To me?
Pride and willful anger are sinful in any man. They're even worse in a minister of his word. Thank you for helping me to remember that. I must go now, but thank you for your help.
Parson Spence?
Why, Sister Sandow, come in. Welcome to the parsonage.
I am in. And don't you sister me, Parson Spence.
I beg your
pardon. I hear you've been calling on my coachman.
I have indeed. A fine, devout man.
Well, I'll have none of it.
Excuse me, sister. I'm sure I didn't hear you correctly.
Oh, yes, you did, and I'll have none of it.
You mean to say that I may not call on Samson?
You certainly may not. I'll be the laughing stock of the whole town, putting him on my social plane. Do you realize what you've done?
I do indeed.
You're my pastor, and you'll call on me. My coachman belongs in the stable.
Your coachman is also a member of my church.
Only for the evening service.
Sister Lydia! Sister Lydia, tell me, don't you have Samson in for evening prayer?
I do. As mistress of my house, I'm responsible for devotions of my servants, but I don't have tea with them, and neither will you.
We are all children of God. There is no distinction in his sight. As you would do unto me, do even so unto the least of these.
Oh, don't you start quoting scripture to me. You preachers are all alike. You can find precedent in the Bible for anything, even sin. But you won't find it to have tea with my coachman ever again, do you hear? You'll never visit Samson again.
Yes, I hear. And I shall visit Samson, Sister Lydia, whenever he has need of me, or I of him.
Well, that settles it. From now on, you're no longer my pastor. I'm going to the Baptist.
Oh.
What happened?
The new church just went out that door.
Oh, no.
To the Baptists. What more, oh, Lord? What more can one day bring?
One little thing, Will. One very little thing. I tried to tell you before. You wouldn't listen.
Well, what?
I'm going to have another baby.
Oh. I phoned Doc Romer a few minutes ago. I've held it in prayer for 3 days. I've asked for guidance and help, and now I'm sure it's right. We're going ahead with the fund for the new church.
Even without Mrs. Sandow?
Mrs. Sandow's desertion may prove a blessing. At least a dozen people have called me to say we can build the church without her. They consider it a challenge.
Yes, one thing about Methodists, they love a good battle for the Lord. And a certain Methodist preacher I know loves to lead them in one. Oh, that reminds me. I've made up my mind about something, too, Will. If the new baby's a boy, his name will be William H.
Now, Hope, I won't have a junior. Besides, the H in my middle name stands for nothing. Just H. Ridiculous. We'll call the boy Fraser after my uncle.
We'll call him William H. Spence, and we won't discuss it.
Now, Hope, I... All right, dear, we won't discuss it. Now, but when the time comes, we'll call him Fraser. My father loved revival meetings. He believed them an essential part of a living religion, and he himself found new faith and inspiration in the voices of worshipers raised in song. He believed, too, that a revival meeting helped to unify a church in time of need. And so now, when all the forces of the congregation had to be mobilized, Father began a revival in Fort Dodge. Even before the second week was over, the results were abundantly evident.
And I'm not one for miracles, Will. That's your department. But it's like a miracle the way the building pledges have been coming in.
Well, I don't mean to discount the blessings of the Lord, Doc Romer, but if you tried conducting one of those revival meetings some night, you'd realize that ministerial sweat also has something to do with it. So the committee's pleased, huh, Doc?
They approved the final budget this afternoon. $60,000, and without a nickel from Lydia Sandow. Say, have you heard the latest about Lydia? Rumor is that Baptist won't take her.
Dr. Carmichael came to talk to me. He doesn't want to accept anyone who just joins his church in anger. Besides, Sister Lydia would never stand for immersion.
What's more, she'd never live through it. Didn't you come back to us, Will?
I'm not saying a word, but that carillon for the tower and the organ, they're still not included in that revised budget, are they?
No, they aren't. Hey, you mean Sister Lydia...
Doc, do you think for 1 minute we can have the finest church in Iowa and no chimes to call the worshippers to service or no organ to give body to our choir?
Will Spence, you're the most religious man I know, but you're also a conniver if I ever saw one.
You know, I've always wanted to play one of those carillons and see that you don't try to beat me to it when it's installed. For this food we are about to receive, we offer thanks. May it be blessed to our use and thus to thy service. Amen.
Amen.
Ah, a good sermon today, Mother?
Oh, fine, Will. The baby loved it, too. He slept all through.
Yes, so I noticed. I expected him to cry, as usual, during silent prayer.
Potatoes, please.
Yes, dear. Will, I didn't want to mention it, but I've had several telephone calls. Your congregation is worrying about how the carillon and the organ will ever get paid for.
They'll be paid for.
But, Will, you've already ordered them, and you haven't even seen Sister Sandow.
There is a time for all things, my dear.
Yes. And speaking of a time for all things, Mr. Spence.
Yes?
One thing was missing in today's service. There was no announcement that next Sunday there would be baptism of new babies.
I'm afraid the minister forgot.
Your own son. Will, how long can a child go on being called just baby? He's 3 months old.
William Fraser?
William H. Jr.
No.
Will?
H, just H, standing for nothing. No, dear.
Will, I want the baby baptized, and I want it done properly and at once.
William Hope?
No.
Henry? Hobart? Harry? Hooligan?
Father.
Just H. William H. like his father. On this, Will, I won't give in.
You won't?
No.
You insist on the last word?
I do.
All right, my dear. Next Sunday, I'll announce baptisms. At long last, baby will have a name. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and he blessed them. At this point, your pastor always likes to depart a moment from the usual ritual. I count it an especially rare moment in the Lord's service when I'm privileged to baptize new babies in the church. And this morning I have a particular interest. We have 2 children to be received today, a girl and a boy. Parents of one I recognize as our chief usher, Mr. Nagel, and his good wife, the mother of the baby boy. Well, she looks familiar, too. And now, will the parents stand here by the font, please? The little girl first. What is the baby's name?
Clarice Marie.
Thank you. Clarice Marie Nagel, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now the boy. What is the boy's name?
William H.
I beg your pardon?
William H.
Thank you. William Fraser Spence. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may return to your seats. You too, ma'am. And may I say your son Fraser is a very handsome child. Yes, Doc.
Well, I'm worried. There's a letter from that company you ordered the carillon from. They're ready to ship and want payment.
They do?
It's serious, Will. Between the carillon and the organ, it's over $30,000. If we can't pay, it'll be a lien against the church. It can't
can jeopardize the whole project.
Doc, I told you at the start not to worry about the carillon or the organ.
But you were depending on Lydia Sandow.
I still am.
She came back?
She sent word 3 days ago that she wanted to see me. Everything was settled this afternoon.
Come in. Oh, come in, Brother Spence.
Good afternoon, Sister Leah. I trust you're well.
Oh, I'm a sinful old woman. That's what I am.
You mean you've been neglecting your prayers?
Oh, no. But I went to the Baptists.
I don't see any sin in that. Brother Carmichael's flock will get to heaven as fast as we will. And he's a good preacher.
Oh, not like you.
Well, people don't join a preacher, Sister Lydia. They join a church. They take the preacher the Lord sends them and give thanks for the privilege of worship, even with the kind of preachers the Methodists have.
Oh, Brother Spence, I'm very unhappy. I feel that each day I'm slipping a little farther away from God.
You probably are.
Have you no sympathy?
You don't need sympathy, sister. What you need is a little old-fashioned religion.
That's what I mean, the old-time religion. The old-time religion. The old-time religion. The old-time religion is good enough for me.
Sister Lydia, is Samson still prohibited from having callers?
He's my coachman.
Do you still prohibit him from going to morning service? Because you're too proud to have your servant attend church when you do.
Oh, take me back, Brother Spence.
You haven't answered my question.
The whole church built, and I've been no part of it. Thaddeus, never forgive me.
Your husband was a sinful man, Sister Lydia. But when the pride burned out of him, he found greater richness in the love of the Lord. In our new church, we should have a mighty carillon to peal out as his goodness rang out to rich and poor alike.
Well, let me give it in his name. I have more than I'll ever need.
We should have a magnificent pipe organ lending warm beauty to worship in God's house, like a rich, deep echo of the prayers of Thaddeus Maximus Sandow.
And that, too. I'll give that, too, in his name. And a rose window. He always wanted a rose window. Let me give that, too, in his name.
Your gift will be accepted, sister, in your husband's name, on the day that you come in humility to your church.
What?
But not alone. Only on the day you accept Samson and all men as your equal in the sight of God. Good afternoon, Sister Lydia.
Try to get some sleep.
Oh, did my pacing wake you?
No, I haven't been asleep either. It's that Mrs. Sandow business, isn't it? Did you talk to Samson?
Yes. Sister Lydia hasn't been anywhere for weeks. She hardly talks to any of the servants. Stays in her room for days at a time. Hope, am I wrong in this?
Wrong, Will?
Without Lydia Sandow's gifts, the church is in serious trouble. Or more correctly, we are. I place those orders on my own authority. But I was sure, Hope. I was sure she would come back.
She still may, Will. And as long as delivery on the carillon was delayed, it couldn't be here for the dedication anyway. Or the organ. Maybe the dedication service will be a call even Lydia's pride can't resist.
But, Hope, should I take her on any terms? Should I compromise with his word? Is any amount of money worth doing that?
You never in your life have asked a question like that, darling, that you didn't answer yourself. The only way you can answer it.
You know, it's actually true. Without that gift from Lydia Sandow, we may be in trouble. Serious trouble.
We haven't had too much trouble in our lives, Will. Problems, but not real trouble. We can stand some if we have to.
Mm-hmm.
But we won't. This'll all work out. Now, you try to get some sleep, Will. Just think about the service Sunday. It's the dedication, darling. The new church. The day you've lived for so long. That's what's important now. Sunday and the dedication.
Church, wonderful.
Yes, dear.
And the procession. I was so proud of Father.
So was I.
But he hasn't smiled at us once. And he keeps looking all over the church, worried-like. What's he looking for?
Never mind, sis.
Mama, he did smile just then. And then he looked over toward the side door. What is it? What's there?
It's someone who just came in, dear.
Mrs. Sandow.
Yes, with Samson and Hannah, her maid, and Olga, her cook.
Gosh, are they all Methodists?
Here, your father.
In the lives of all of us, there are moments, moments when we may truly say, my cup runneth over. This, my beloved, is surely such a moment for your pastor. We share in this hour a temple to the Lord, a fine, magnificent structure that stands as eloquent evidence of the labor and sacrifice of each and all of you in his name. Aside from the actual marble cornerstone of this church, there are two others upon which it is built. They are the determined heart and the humble spirit. Both my brothers and sisters are truly good in his eyes. Let us pray. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Deliver us from coldness of heart and wanderings of mind, that with steadfast thoughts and kindled affection, we may worship thee in spirit and truth, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. You look like you were going to cry.
I'm not, sis. I'm not. It's just that right now I'm like your father. My cup runneth over.
From that moment there at the dedication, I think we knew, Mother, Eileen, and I, what was inevitable. It was only a matter of time. The organ arrived and was dedicated with appropriate pomp and ceremony, while Mrs. Sandow and all her retinue beamed from a first-row pew. And the long-awaited carillon was installed, with Father himself the first person to play it, sending its rich, full notes out over all the town like a poem of thanksgiving. Both events were but late milestones on a course that was for Father already run. And then they came, the words we had dreaded.
Mother, we've got to move on. I talked to the bishop today.
And?
He wants me to take the church in Omaha. It's a challenge, Hope. The bishop says the parish there needs leadership, and it needs devotion. He feels much good work for the Lord can be done by the right man.
And you're that man.
The bishop thinks so.
Will, you've earned a rest.
Oh, Hope.
You're tired. You've nearly worked yourself to death here. Now you have a perfect church organization, a car, a fine new church. And for once, we have a new parsonage.
When a minister takes root, he's through.
But why? Why can't you go on serving in one place? Why must you always find a new town, a new challenge, someplace far away?
That is Methodism.
What can I say? You know we'll do what you feel you must. It'll be Omaha, and then somewhere else. And then still somewhere else. After all, it isn't as though you hadn't warned me. All right, Will. When did you tell the bishop we'd go?
September. Now, how did you know I'd already given him an answer?
I know you, darling. I can recognize that new horizons look in your eyes when it comes. Heaven help me if I couldn't. Well, now that we have everything beautifully settled in the new parsonage, I'll go and start to pack.
Thank you.
One thing sure, Will. No church ever gave a minister a finer farewell.
They're good friends, all of them. If we hadn't been all packed, I don't think I could have left after all.
Why are we stopping?
Take a last look, everyone.
Yes.
Back across the river. You too, Hope, unless you're afraid of what happened to Lot's wife.
No, I'm not. Say a last goodbye to Fort Dodge, children.
I don't want to go.
Oh, sis, don't start crying. You'll wake up Fraser.
Eileen, dear.
There now, sis. You mustn't feel too badly.
But all our friends.
We'll have new ones where we're going.
And after all, that's part of the problem of having a preacher for a father, sis.
Oh, you're not a problem. Oh,
thank you, but I am. We may have many moves like this before you children are grown up. What Paul said is true of every preacher, Eileen. I have no continuing city.
And you love Omaha while we're there, dear? We all will.
Listen, the Caroline.
Oh, Will, your favorite hymn.
That must be Doc Romer. He would think of that way to say goodbye. Thanks, Doc. You know, children, we haven't properly said goodbye to a place that's been very good to us.
That's right, dear. We haven't.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the blessings of the years we have known in this place. We thank Thee for the trials Thou hast put upon us and for the strength to meet and overcome. We thank Thee for friendships made and for the privilege of serving Thee. And above all, we thank Thee for each other. In His name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we're underway.
Goodbye, Fort Dodge.
Omaha, here we come.
Here we come.
Father, can I blow the horn? Can I please?
Yes, Hartzell, you may blow it. For it is not seemly that the chariot of the Lord should come unheralded to the awaiting city. Blow it, Hartzell. Blow it long and hard.
At CBS, you have just heard Mr. Francho Tone, starring with Rosemary DeCamp in Fletcher Markle's production of One Foot in Heaven by Hartzell Spence. Another of the world's great stories from radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment. Tonight's script was prepared by Drew Boardman, and the original musical score was composed by Norm Lockwood and conducted by Alexander Semler. Now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer identify the principals in our cast tonight? In the foreground,
Will Spence,
was played, of course, by Mr. Tone. Soon to be seen in the forthcoming motion picture, Jigsaw.
Hope Spence,
was played by Rosemary DeCamp.
Samson,
was Everett Sloan.
Mrs. Sandow,
was Miriam Wolfe.
Dr. Romer,
was Hedley Rennie.
Mrs. McClintock,
was played by Hester Sondergaard. Actively assisting were Kathy McGregor, Ian McAllister, Ethel Everett, Betty Filson, Peter Griffith and David Anderson. Narrator was your producer. Next week from Studio One, a comedy about a literary agent and the loves and lions which he pursues after sunset in Manhattan. To play this mercurial gentleman in Richard Meland's novel Let Me Do the Talking, we welcome to our microphone one of Hollywood's most brilliant comedians, Mr. Melvin. We hope you'll be with us. And now until next week, until Let Me Do the Talking, starring Melvin Douglas, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
This is Lee Vines and this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.